Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you. It's Turkey Eve Day here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome. I know a lot of you folks are already out on the road, and we're just honored that you're taking a few moments to hang out with us today as we gear up for Thanksgiving. And we've got some great guests coming up a little bit later on, talking about some great topics as well. All right. Where do we begin? So there's a lot happening in the world of politics. Joe Biden yesterday at Naval Base or Naval Air Station Norfolk flirted with a six-year-old child. We'll get to that. We have some audio of that. The guy's a little pervy. By the way, happy birthday, Mr. President, but he's a little pervy. Also, everybody remembering Rosalynn Carter, who was the former first lady, and she passed away yesterday afternoon, 96 years old. And I know their politics were pretty horrible, but they were good people. And Rosalynn Carter and her husband married, what, over 70 years? It's just really remarkable, the story of their love and their family. And look, they lived in the same house that they lived in before he was governor of the state of Georgia. So, very sad. And it was good to see a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans remembering Rosalynn Carter. It was interesting. My family, my parents were friends of the Carters. They would come up to the North Georgia mountains and they would attend whenever they were in town. They would attend the First Baptist Church. And my mom was known around the town for her incredible cooking. She was a great cook. And no, she wasn't a chef. That's highfalutin. She was a cook. And people loved her food. And Mrs. Carter and the president as well. And every time they would have a dinner on the grounds, so they would always compliment my mom for her great cooking. So anyway, it's they were good, down-to-earth, decent people. Lousy politics, but good, decent people. I want to start with it's kind of weird because there's so much in the world of politics, and Trump is just crushing it right now in the polls, just crushing it. And honestly, Ron DeSantis not understanding that it's over for him, that there is not a path to victory in 2024. For him not to be able to see that at this point is somewhat delusional. But it's the boots. It's the boots. I don't even think Trump came up with the boots. Somebody else did, but you can't help every time you see the guy walking somewhere, you're not even paying attention to what he's saying. You're looking at his boots and wondering, geez, Alou, is he really that short? So it's just, but beyond that, he's not connecting. The guy has, you hate to say this, but he doesn't have any personality. It's really quite remarkable. If I were him, I would have tossed the boots and gotten the sneakers or the loafers or the whatnot, whatever you normally wear that you feel comfortable in. That's what Ron ought to be wearing right now. Ron is not comfortable in his skin. He is not comfortable in his boots. And that tells me we're not seeing the real Ron DeSantis. We're seeing some sort of a fabrication that somebody, maybe it's the wife, maybe it's the political handlers, and they're telling him you have to act in a certain way. And may I just say that when Trump makes fun of somebody, there's a little bit of humor in it. You know what I mean? It's really not, it may be insulting, but it's pretty funny at the same time. With DeSantis, it's just mean. It's mean, man. Just plain mean. So anyway, we'll get to that in just a little while. That's not what I want to talk about. There's a survey from Campus Reform. Small businesses are dissatisfied with college-educated job seekers. Now, if you've been following the news lately, you know that our public universities are basically churning out Jew-hating anti-Semites. I know that's redundant, but it's true. Unfortunately, they're also churning out graduates who are stupid and full of themselves. So there are a couple of surveys, and it all ties in together. But according to our friends over at Red Balloon, small businesses are now losing interest in hiring candidates with four-year degrees. You know, back when Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Hussein Obama were in the White House, that was a big thing for them. If you're not getting a college education, then you're a bad person. Then you're not living up to your full potential, and you will never amount to anything. I mean, that's what they were actually telling kids. And so what happened during the Obama years, a lot of kids who could not afford college or maybe didn't want to go to college, they felt pressured into getting a degree. Otherwise, they felt like they would be a zero. They would amount to nothing in their lives, which was, by the way, the farthest thing from the truth. So what happened? These kids go out there, they get these degrees, they get saddled with all of this debt, they graduate, they can't find a job in the field of their study, and many of them to this day are still living in their parents' home. It's really shocking to see the generation of millennials that are still living at home with mom and dad. And yeah, you can blame Barack Hussein Obama and his wife, Michelle Obama. You can blame them for their plight to some extent. Ultimately, you're responsible for your own lot in life. So anyway, so now you've got Gen Zers, and it's shocking, but a lot of them are worse than the millennials. According to this study, and they surveyed 70,000 small businesses. 70,000, that's a lot of small businesses. The findings of the study suggest that small business owners are dissatisfied with the state of higher education. They say that the kids are graduating and they have no discernible skills. That's terrible. And they say the talent shortage is just going to get worse because high schools and colleges produce no talent. Now, one of the big problems is that, and according to the survey here, is that the kids have no skills, and especially in the trades like welders and electricians and construction workers. One employer said experience cannot be replaced with education alone. I'll take the one with talent and imagination and who didn't look at their phone in the last 20 minutes. Wow, isn't that the truth? Finally, when employers were asked if colleges and universities were fostering things like free speech and debate, graduating students capable of debating ideas and using critical thinking, 96.9% were either somewhat no or strongly no. That's a big problem. The survey predicts the small business community may lead the renaissance back to vocational training and restoration of non-college educated careers. Now, I want to ask a question of our younger listeners, those of you who are either in college or have graduated recently. Was it worth it? Were you able to acquire the skills you needed by going to a four-year college or a community college? But if you think about it, this is a fascinating idea, this idea of thinking critically. Kids are coming out of a university situation where free speech is not tolerated. That if you have an opinion that differs from those in leadership, then you are punished or you are shouted down. I mean, it's really crazy out there. But again, then there is the other side of it where you have these kids that are coming out of these colleges, and man, have they been pampered. And I blame mom and dad for this. The New York Post says Gen Z workers say they should be hired for their personality, not productivity. I love it. You can't make this stuff up. The youngest generation in the workforce says their humor and wit provide a certain vibe that older employees apparently lack. They've even invented a term for it, a personality hire. That describes their self-perceived function in a corporate setting to provide all the jokes, the banter, and playfulness needed in order to set the vibes. TikToker Bella Rose Mortel is a self-proclaimed chief vibes officer. She told Business Insider that previous managers have appreciated her energy. I noticed the important phrase there is previous managers. That implies that she can't keep a job. I guess maybe the jokes got stale. After her series of TikToks calling for an unserious workplace and the integration of Gen Z lingo in the office parlance went viral, she said the manager at her software company found the videos hilarious. Wow. All right, good for you. Good for you. So her job is to bring the energy. Really, what about doing the job you were hired to do? I mean, seriously. You've got a lot of people now, a lot of young people, in all seriousness, they've pushed back at the idea of a 9-to-5 job, and they are horrified when they have to work beyond the hours of 9-to-5. And this is across the board. I've had a lot of conversations with business owners, and they all find it's the same issue. Kids are graduating. They want $100,000 a year right out of college, and they want a title. And they want all of the benefits that come with that. So that the kids, and this comes from a home environment where the children are being treated as if they are royalty. Oh, he's just so precious. He deserves every dollar. And, I mean, look at what's happening in our public schools right now. It used to be when mom or dad got called down to the local school, guess what happened? Yeah, your butt got in trouble at school and at home. But now you show up at school and it's automatically, what did you do to my son? What did you do to my son? That's the way it is. The teachers are always wrong. The kids are always right. Back when I was growing up, you didn't speak unless you were spoken to as a child. And if you did, you got smacked upside the back of the head. And that made you a good American. It's called raising your children. That's child abuse. Okay. All right. Well, the problem is, mom and dad, you grow these little heathens, and then all of a sudden they're in the general population. So now all the rest of us have to deal with your lack of parenting skills. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. So we're going to be taking your calls here. Is this true? I mean, do you find that college is worthless, ladies and gentlemen? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go to Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Jim. What say you?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. My son turned down a football scholarship to go to Alabama, and he was 18 years old. And he got in with Memphis Light, Gas, and Water, and he's a lineman. And he's 47 years old right now, and he can retire if he wants to.
Is that right? How old is he?
47.
Wow, and he can already retire if he wanted to.
Yep. He's been with him since he was 18. It's an apprenticeship program, a four-year apprenticeship program, and he didn't do drugs. He didn't do a lot of alcohol, no more than a normal teenager would do. I was a single parent, and I knew when to stick a foot in. I knew when to pull it out and pat him on the back. And all you got to do is, there's a lot of these trades out there. You got heat and air conditioning. You can make a fortune doing that.
Wow, that's, and again,
but he has flat worked his tail off to get where he's at.
And Jim, as a result of working his tail off, guess what? He gets to retire years, maybe decades before other people his age.
Yep, he's talking about he may go for 30 years and then turn around and go to work for another company that's offered him a supervisory job, and and work till he's 65 and double dip.
Good for him. Good for him. Clearly, Jim, you did a good job raising your kid. And I suspect he's going to do a great job raising his kids as well. And you instilled a work ethic. And that's important. And that's missing in a lot of households in America these days. And part of that comes out of the pandemic, where people were told, don't worry about work and stay home. The government's going to send you a check.
I had a saying on my refrigerator when I was raising my kid, and it says, what part of no do you not understand?
I love it. Love it. All right, Jim, we got to run for a break. God bless you. And, folks, those are the kinds of parents we need raising their kids. I mean, that's pretty spectacular. This guy is he set his son up for success in life, and you got to work hard at it. That's what you have to do. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Artie, do you have the turkey, the ham? Are you a turkey or a ham family? I think we're doing both. Doing the smoked turkey. Can't go wrong there. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Nigel in Springfield, Massachusetts. What say you? Hello,
hi,
Nigel.
Hi, Todd. I'm a hiring manager, and these college kids today are unbelievable. All they ever want to talk about is Moloch. Do you know anything about that?
All right, Nigel, appreciate that call. Let's go to Victor in Silver Spring, Maryland. Hi, Victor. What say you?
Just before I retired, I had a run-in with one of these know-it-alls. And I worked for the National Library Service for the Blind. I made sure that the cassettes that were duplicated for the Talk and Book program met specifications. So I had to talk to this young lady, and she started talking about how much money she was going to make and everything. And I said, look, you're going to have to do the work before you get paid. And I explained to her how I started off at the very bottom of the ladder and worked my way up to quality assurance specialist. So she went to the front office and complained I said something that was racist. So I'm hauled into the front office, and I explained to the director, I said, look, I was just explaining to her how I had to work my way up and everything, and she's not going to get anywhere if she has this attitude. And he told me at the time, he says, look, we're going to get rid of her anyway because she's not working out. And the only way they could get rid of her was to abolish the job.
Wow. Well, you know, they're real sensitive. I mean, now, you know, they'll sue you or do it. It's insanity. What parents are churning out of their households these days, because that's where that's coming from. The sense of entitlement and the perpetually offended generation, It's just unbelievable. Victor, we got to skedaddle. We're late for a break here, but appreciate that call. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Is that college education of yours really worth it? At the end of the day, is it really worth all of that money? All right, stick around, everybody. This is The Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. I've been transported back to my youth with this bumper music. Thank you, Dylan Dandridge. Love it. Wow, we've got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this topic today, and I've got some crazy audio. All right, we're gonna hold the audio. We have a 22-year-old ballet teacher who gets it, and she is just enraged with all of you parents out there. But first, let's go to Jefferson, Georgia. Cheryl is listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Cheryl. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Happy Thanksgiving. So the whole college degree thing is changing for sure, because when I graduated, I went to corporate sales, but I had to have a degree. Now I'm straight commission. It didn't matter. But my husband just retired from a big airline here in Georgia. My son is getting all his ravings. They dropped the college requirement for commercial pilots.
Wait, what?
They dropped the college degree requirement for commercial pilots.
Jesus.
Because they were so short. Now, in their defense, it's a pretty rigorous program, but our son took a year off during the COVID thing because it was such a mess. They didn't know what they were doing, and he wasn't learning anything. But now we're like, now you're halfway through, you're going to finish. Because, Todd, if they're looking at two pilots, they both have the same credentials, and one finished their degree and one didn't, they're going to give first hire to the one who had the degree. I mean, it's just human nature. Not to say that the other pilot wouldn't get hired, but in that competitive situation, it'll make a difference. Now, there's a lot of pilots out there who will not have their college degree. And they're churning them out from flight schools as fast as they can. But the college degree says, I can finish something I started. That's just my take.
Now, that's interesting. And look, I think there are some, Cheryl, I think there are some jobs out there where, yeah, you need to have a college degree. You need to have the training. I mean, if you're going to be a heart surgeon, I expect for you to have gone to school and have studied for that and passed all of your classes. If you're flying an airplane, look, as long as you are qualified and trained, I've got no problems with that. My concern would be an affirmative action hire in the cockpit of the airplane that I'm flying.
Well, that's an issue, and I could tell you stories and also about the shock that you don't see in the mainstream media. It, you know, we get this from those in the ranks.
Wow, so you're telling me there are people flying the airplanes that really should not be flying the airplanes.
Correct, and the FAA expanded the range for the heart requirements because of the shot. So in other words, you know, it used to be a very strict, you know, medical, and if you had any heart issues outside of those parameters, you know, you couldn't renew your medical. Well, they've expanded those. And see, you don't hear about any of that stuff.
Again,
and
I think
they're doing it.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Go ahead. Well, the reason they're doing it is because so many of these pilots were required to take the shot, and now they've got heart issues. I mean, young people, 30s, early 30s, that you don't hear about.
You know, it's interesting. They just dropped the COVID requirement for the Army because they are suffering. They do not have enough troops, and the guys and gals are not wanting to sign up like they used to. And so they've removed that requirement. Cheryl, I've got to run, but that is shocking, not terribly surprising. But again, it's a dangerous situation when you've got guys or gals up in those cockpits and they're affirmative action hires. And they're not qualified to actually fly those planes. And by the way, as crazy as that is, there was a report out a couple of months ago about the number of unqualified people that are working in those air traffic control towers and the numbers of near misses that have gone unreported is off the charts. But I got to play this audio. This is a 22-year-old black ballet teacher, and she is beside herself. And you can tell it's a heartbreaking situation. You know, she's teaching these little girls how to become ballerinas, but it's all you know what is broken loose. Listen to Cut 17.
I'm calling out all the parents. If you're a parent and your child is in pre-K to elementary school to high school, I'm calling you out. The children today, I have never experienced, and I'm 22. Having to teach and work with you guys as children has been the most traumatic experience of my life. I teach five-year-olds ballet. Five-year-old girls ballet. I have a class of 10 students. They don't respect any authority. You ask them, can you stand in your designated spot? They're telling you no and shut up. They're throwing things at each other. They're throwing things at other people, other classmates. You say, can everybody sit in their spot? I don't want to. I'm not doing that. You don't get to tell me what to do. You're not my mom. You confront the parent. The parent tries to argue with you and fuss at you because you tried to reprimand and redirect their kid. I told a young little girl, please sit in your spot. You're not my mom. You don't tell me what to do. Okay. When her mom came to pick her up, I said, hey, your daughter's having a hard time following instructions. And 7 times today, I've had to redirect her to just sit in her spot. Well, clearly she didn't want to sit. And mind you, this is a mom. Clearly she didn't want to sit right there. So, I mean, if she's telling you she don't want to do something, why keep asking her to do it? You know she's not going to do it. What world do we live in? Like, what in you guys' brain as a parent says, my kid not following any directions is a great thing. It's not that serious. And y'all don't have a right to tell her what to do. It's sad. It's sad. It's really, really sad.
It's terrible. This is like a 10-minute rant this poor girl goes on. And I feel for her, but I am glad as a 22-year-old, she's finally getting it. By the way, I'm somewhat sympathetic to this young person, and also I'm impressed with her thinking on things like the kinds of music, I kid you not, the kinds of music that the five-year-olds are listening to. Cut 18.
And another thing that's heart-wrenching is horrifying. It is horrifying. Your five-year-old daughters are asking to listen to Pound Town. And Ski Yee, your daughters, your five-year-old daughters are asking, can we hear Pound Town? I'm playing them Princess Tiana ballet music. And they are asking me, can we hear Pound? I don't know what to do. And I'm so scared for these little girls today because this is the most insane, insane agenda push I have ever seen in my life. We do freeze dance. You guys' daughters are twerking at five. Five. Where is the parenting? Where is the boundaries? Where is the help? Y'all are not helping your kids. You're hurting them. You guys are hurting them. I come every day dressed, ready to go, and I'm in school too. I'm in college. I mean, I put bows in my hair. I'm wearing leotards. I'm trying to get them interested in like proper things for their age, and you guys are exposing your kids to this raunchy secular music. Why is you guys' 5-year-old daughter singing Pound Town?
All right. Just heartbreaking. I have a question. Dylan, you're the music aficionado of the Todd Stearns radio program. Are you familiar with Pound Town?
I am not, actually.
Good. You don't know how happy I am to hear you say that. otherwise, it would have been a difficult conversation over Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
So Pound Town is a single put out by a gentleman by the name of Sexy Red and Tay Keith, T-A-Y Keith. It apparently is Sexy Red's breakout song. It is so horrifying, you can't even read the lyrics. But it involves things like hoochie daddies and dreadheads.
Mm.
It's look, I don't even think adults should be listening to this, much less 5-year-olds.
I've heard of Sexy Red. Not good things coming out of that.
Not for a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they? What's the purple dinosaur?
Barney.
Oh, is it that the gay one? No, that's the Tubby Tellies. The purple, yeah.
Tubby Tellies.
It's always Teletubbies.
Yeah.
The Tubby Tellies. I don't know. It's always the purple one you got to wonder about. Not that we judge. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, here you have a young lady who is out there saying, hey, look, sounding the alarm. We are raising generations of heathens that are being exposed to stuff that not even grown-ups should be exposed to. And we wonder what's happening with our country. We wonder what's going on with the value system in America. You know, over the weekend, Memphis, Tennessee, once again, national news. We had five women shot. Three of them died. Then just this morning, three more people shot, two dead. You've got all sorts of debauchery happening all over America. And people are just throwing their hands up, and it goes back to one thing. This is bad parenting. That's what it is, bad parenting. And I feel bad for this ballet teacher. One more thing. I'm going to play one more clip out of this night team, please.
Y'all come in and you're more worried about what's going on your Instagram and TikTok feed versus being a parent. Be a parent. You guys are horrible parents. Like, I'm sorry to say it, but this generation of some of the mom, not all, but majority that I've dealt with kids that are between the ages of 5 and 4 and 3, you guys don't parent your children at all. They have no basic comprehension skills. They can't sit still. No attention span. They're hitting people. They can't talk. They can't communicate. They don't even know how to say, like, I want to go to the bathroom. If you ask them a question, they're rude, nasty, horrible attitudes at 5, and they want to hear Pound Town. What are you guys doing with your kids?
It's a great question. What are you doing with your kids, America? And folks, one of the things that we try to do on this program, and we work very hard at it, is not just Todd Stearns sharing his view, but we want to hear from you as well, and we want to give you solutions. We've got to change this. And it is going to take moms and dads parenting their kids. That's what it's going to take here. And by the way, what are we doing? Are we teaching our kids about American values? Are we teaching our kids about our founding fathers? Are we teaching our kids about Ronald Reagan and the great things that Ronald Reagan did for this country, and Donald John Trump, the great things he did for the country? Are we taking responsibility for the primary education of our kids? Or are we just letting the government do that? because the government is doing a lousy job, ladies and gentlemen, a lousy job. By the way, I got an email. Somebody was looking for a job, and they put their personal pronouns in the cover letter. I didn't even bother to read it. I'm sorry. If you think I need to know your pronouns, this is not the place for you to work. I'm just saying. Let's go to CJ listening to us on WSIC. Hi, CJ. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Todd?
All right. Pretty good.
Good. I think that lady's a little mad.
Do you think she's right to be mad?
Rightfully so. Yes, sir. So I just wanted to say I'm a part of that generation, but I'm not a part of that problem.
So, CJ, how old are you, CJ?
I'm 19, sir.
19 years old. All right, so how did you turn out the way you turned out? I'm curious.
My parents, I suppose. They did a great job. I wasn't a part of any of that crap going on. But a lot of the people in my generation, yeah, they'll listen to that Sexy Red and all that stuff, and they have their pronouns in their bio, and I'm like, what are you doing?
CJ, we have a very well-known New York Times bestselling author who's been on the show, got a brand new publicist, and the publicist, first thing in the subject line are the pronouns. And I'm sorry, we can't bring that person on the show anymore. I just can't get past the subject line. And we're just not going to play that game, you know, here on this program. It sounds like your parents did a heck of a job raising you.
I'd say so, too.
All right. Well, good for you. And again, five-year-old, CJ, five-year-old kids are asking to listen to Sexy Red. Five-year-olds.
That, even just you saying that, that disgusts me.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. CJ, here's what I want to do. We're going to get you a copy of Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Can I send you a copy of that?
That'd be great.
All right. I want you to read it and give us a call back and let us know what you think about the book. So hang tight. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get your address, and we'll send CJ a copy of the book. How about that, folks? 19 years old, listening to conservative talk radio. He is going to be a great American patriot already. I can go ahead and predict that right now. We got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Well, there could be hope here, folks. A new NBC poll out. President Trump leads 18 to 34-year-old Americans 46% to 42%, beating Biden among the Gen Zers and the younger millennials. By the way, it is, and it confirms other recent polling from CNN and the New York Times Siena College. So clearly something is going on out there. And maybe, just maybe, and you just heard people like CJ, the silent majority, starting to speak out. So good for you. One final note on this chaos in the culture, which is driving all of the problems we're facing in America. Memphis just spent $60 million to open up a brand new sports and event center, and it was for the children. It's all for the children. And imagine my surprise when our flagship station, KWAM, reported on something called the Body League. It is basically a strip show on the basketball court. As a matter of fact, the logo features a butt-naked woman doing, it's really a twerking, I suppose, with buttocks cheeks the size of beach balls. And the participants basically are strippers, or pretty darn close. Coach Johnny Blaze, and then Coach Just Brittany, who is has an ample bosom, this woman, which is barely covered by a green doily. I believe I have described that to the best of my abilities. And I don't know if, again, this is supposed to be a family-friendly venue. If I was the owner of a strip club in town, I would be really upset about all of this. And I don't know, maybe they're going to get all the dollar bills and scoop them up and pay for this thing. I don't know. All right, got to take a break, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Jeez, hello.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Extravaganza. Getting ready for Thanksgiving. You know, by the way, Grace Baker is back in Memphis. We'll talk to. Hey, can we get Grace to a microphone? Is that possible? Grace, of course, she left us. Well, she didn't leave us. She just moved out of the zip code. But she's still hanging out with us and booking all of our guests and doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But every now and again, Grace Baker comes back to the 901. Hello, Grace.
I made it back with a bulletproof vest. No, I'm just kidding.
People, well, that's, hey, well, you're
I went from one war zone to another. Yeah,
you're
so,
in
you
Chicago,
know.
So it's not that much of a difference.
Nope, I was prepared.
All right. So, and did you bring Merlot?
I did bring Merlot. She is staying at my parents' house, so she's a happy camper.
Very nice. And the husband, too, I imagine.
Yes, he
all
came
right,
along,
so,
too.
So you guys are not so much newlyweds. How many years has it been?
It was 3 years, wow. About a week and a half ago.
Wow. So you've started, so because you started the program, you were a single woman.
Yes, this is true. I feel like the Todd Stearns Show has been with me through multiple stages of life.
Wow.
Single life, married life, engaged life, dog mom life.
This is true. Well, that's right. Sweet Merlot,
yes.
Doing well. And so are you doing well?
Yeah.
You know, I know you and I talk every day.
Oh, yes, we do. But it's good to be back. Yes.
But our listeners are very frustrated. You know, they're like, why can't Grace be on the show every day?
I'm sorry, guys. It's a little tough. We need to set up like another station in the Chicago area, you know, and have like a KOM Todd Stearns Show headquarters be over there, Midwest.
I think this is a brilliant idea.
We could have multiple locations.
Yes, or you could just tell the husband we're moving back to Memphis. That's a lot cheaper.
That's another thing we could do. That's true.
A lot
That's
cheaper.
True. The food is good there, but I will not eat barbecue in Chicago. I tell people. Not doing it. Sorry.
No, you should. Just like you shouldn't eat a Chicago-style hot dog in Memphis.
That's true.
You
it's
know,
just not
it's,
the same.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
It's not the same. I saw that I was watching a commercial yesterday, and I thought about you because they had the deep dish Chicago-style pizza. Have you had one of those yet?
Oh, yeah. I've had several.
Are they good?
They are good, but it's like I don't want it every time I have pizza, you know? It's like it's a pie. It's very thick.
It is.
And it's good. I like the thing I like about it, though, is they put the cheese on the bottom. So the way that it hits your palate is cheese first, and I do appreciate that.
Interesting.
But I know you're not a big fan of it, Todd.
I'm not
you're
a big
making
fan.
A face.
I'm not
I'm
a big
sorry.
Fan.
I'm sorry. You like New York style, don't you?
I mean, do.
Which makes sense.
I love the thin crust. I love the thin crust.
The thin crust is good. I like a good thick crust, though. Something about
it. Hey, nothing. And I don't like a lot of the sauce, you know?
Okay, that's fair. And like the other day, I had one, and it was like a sweet sauce, and I was just like, ugh. Just I didn't like it.
So you're home for Thanksgiving.
I am all week, I'll be here.
Are you cooking? Who handles the bulk of the cooking
my
for
mom does the primary. I always offer to help. I will make one or two things maybe. I'll make a crayon apple casserole. Have you had that before?
I know. Is that like the crayon apple juice?
No, it's like cranberries, apples, pecans. It's a casserole dish. It's like sweet, got brown sugar on it. It's kind of like a dessert. You know, in the South, it's casserole heaven. That's just the way it is. So you've got squash casserole, sweet potato casserole, crayon apple casserole.
Oh, green bean casserole.
Green bean casserole, of course, of course. So it's like anything we can make into a casserole in the South, we do.
Cornbread dressing?
Oh, yeah. Now, there's different kinds. There's dressing. There's stuffing.
Yeah, you see, I don't get that. Basically, you stuff a loaf of bread inside the turkey carcass.
Yes.
I would prefer the cornbread dressing in the pan.
That's
the way
fair.
It's the way God intended.
That's fair. That's fair. So I know people are really picky about that, but it is probably one of my favorite dishes.
This is interesting. All right. I had no idea.
So.
All right. Very nice. One of the things I will say, and pecan pie. I'm a big pecan pie guy.
Ooh.
But I will say this. Somebody saw me in this establishment, so I guess I should fess up. I went to Whole Foods.
No, you didn't.
I did. I went to Whole Foods. Somebody said, oh, they've got a great pecan pie there. Not very happy with the pecan pie at the Kroger. So I go to the Whole Foods, Grace Baker, and I'm in the Whole Foods, and I get the pie, and it looks delicious. It looks like something you would see in one of the magazines, Garden and Gun Magazine. And I get home, and I cut into the pie, and the knife almost broke. It was so congealed.
Oh, no.
It was like you had to carve it with, like, ginsu.
Well, did you bite into it? I hope not. You break a tooth.
What do you call it? The juice or the...
Ew.
What do you call the...
Ew, juice. There
the
should
concoction.
Be no juice. No,
but it's...
The gelatin?
The gelatin, yeah. The glue Ew. That holds it together. That was very tasty.
I think they may have put super glue in there instead.
Oh, you think so? Oh, they may have. Maybe they saw me coming.
Yeah. But it wasn't like a weird crust or anything, was it? Like, you know, Whole Foods. It might
it
be
was,
a little
The
different.
Crust was good. It wasn't flavorful.
Okay.
The best pecan pie in America, and unless someone wants to prove me otherwise, and we'll open up the phone lines on this Thanksgiving week, but it's the Buttermilk Pie Company down in Gainesville, Georgia, and they do deliver. And I tell you, it's a bourbon pecan pie.
Oh,
and you need a designated driver, but it's really a good pie.
Well, if it's bourbon pecan pie. I'm sure it's extra good then.
It's very tasty.
You
very
said they tasty. Deliver. Okay.
Oh, they will deliver. Yeah, they'll ship it to you.
Okay. I'm going to have to check that out then.
It's pretty darn good, though. I think that's the name of it. I hope they didn't change the name. Somebody from Gainesville, Georgia will make us aware of that.
And we do take pie donations, so if anybody wants to ship
yes,
us
Yes, we
pie.
Do. I knew there was a reason. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, so. You know, I like to try different kinds of food. So
so if you want to say hello to Grace, give us a call.
And give us 901.
Yes, and a pie.
I'm
901-26. I'm not. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Grace, the reason I wanted you on for this segment is because...
it was about food?
No, it's about a big controversy that is brewing in the world of conservative punditry.
Oh, no.
And it involves the Daily Wire.
Oh, no.
And, of course, they've been going at it, Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro.
I know.
And have you been following this?
A little bit. It's a lot of drama.
it's
like, we don't have time for this, people.
It's a lot of drama. But here's what gets me is that the Daily Wire, it just seems to me, if you've got somebody in your employ, so let's just say that, you know, Dylan here, who is technically family, so I can use Dylan as an example here without violating HR rules.
Uh-oh.
But let's just say Dylan is going out on CNN and he's trash talking yours truly, which he would not do. But let's say he's out there doing it. And all of a sudden, I'm in a position where, all right, do we fire Dylan because he's trash talking the boss? I mean, is that what we do?
That's true.
The answer would be, yes, you would.
I mean,
sorry, Dylan.
It's not good publicity, that's for sure.
You're expendable in this conversation, so, but not in real
Dylan.
Life. I know, poor Dylan. Anyway, so again, I'm not understanding why. I mean, clearly what Candace Owens has been saying is contrary to what the Daily Wire believes, and it has grossly offended Ben Shapiro, and she is back and forth, and I'm, quite frankly, I'm confused about who actually owns and runs the Daily Wire, because everybody is passing the buck.
Yeah, because then Jeremy Boring came in and basically said, well, I can't fire her either. So, because, okay. You know, Ben can't fire anybody because he's like passed the torch. And then Jeremy's like, well, I'm overseas filming a movie series, so I can't do it either.
All right, who's running like, the who show? Is?
I don't know the name of the guy who runs the show there right now. I really don't.
So they're saying that Candace is paid to give her opinion, not mine or Ben. So using their argument, I mean, they're basically calling her an anti-Semite. So why would you employ an anti-Semite? If in fact, I have no idea if she is or not. I do not know.
No, me neither.
But, I mean, clearly there is bad blood there.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the company Christmas party this year is going to be super great with Ben and Candace. There might be a fight at the cocktail
bar. I think it's the Hanukkah party.
Oh, that's true. See, that's the thing that's awkward. I mean, he's Jewish. Obviously, he's offended, understandably. But they're just going back and forth over Twitter. And it's like she posts a Bible verse and he's like, stop talking about me. And she's like, I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, you know she was.
We all go,
she
was. But you were, definitely. You were subtweeting him. We all know what you're doing.
And again, I have a problem with that. Don't use the Bible to attack Ben Shapiro.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Good Lord. So now the David Horowitz Freedom Center, which is a very well-respected group, they have now officially disowned Candace Owens.
I saw that, which is like, whoa. I literally saw that moments before you brought me on. So that's nuts. I think a lot of people are just over her at the moment.
You know, and that's what I'm getting at. Is anybody over Candace Owens? Are you done?
Yeah, I didn't listen to her a lot before, so I don't think I can come on and say, well, I was a fan and now I'm not. Like, I always thought she was pretty cool, but I'm like, I haven't listened to her opinions on all these topics, but all I've seen is the backlash. And every conservative that's considered an actual conservative is saying, yeah, we're done with her.
Instead of focusing on the meaningful activism and defense of American values that brought her to our attention, Candace Owens has become obsessed with her own fame, stirring up drama to compensate for a lack of real achievement. Wow.
Whoa, now that's pretty harsh. But her and Steven Crowder got into it the first time, if you remember that. And that was the whole thing.
They all get into it. It's just insane.
It's just like catfight.
Unbelievable. Her comments about Israel and her promotion of people like Andrew Tate are part of a pattern. Here we go now. Candace tackles a subject she knows nothing about, never bothers to learn anything about it, and then rides the backlash by playing the victim to generate more fame and money. What a tragic misuse of talent.
Shots fired, man.
Yeah, but I think they've got a point here, right?
Yeah, I don't know. She's very reactive, right? Like, she does trend on Twitter for the drama, typically. Because then you had her with Kanye West, and that was a whole other issue, if you remember that.
There was a female. We're not going to name the female, but Grace, you know who we're talking about.
Oh, no.
And she was a regular guest on this program, and she had a bad habit. She would just go out there and viciously attack fellow conservatives. It was ugly. And then when they responded, she would play the victim card. And so this person asked me for some guidance, for some mentoring. And so I said, I'm very happy to do that. And I said, look, here's the deal. You need to pick your fights, and every fight can't be a fight. Every hill cannot be a hill to die on.
That's exhausting, in my opinion.
And you can't burn bridges. No. And that's the problem. She was burning. It wasn't like burning bridges. It was like torching them.
And then just you're left alone on an island because all the bridges around you are gone. So and,
right,
stuck.
Exactly. So I gave this person, it was pretty good advice. And so the next day I was on Twitter and I was writing about something. And then I say, I know she's attacking me.
I remember this.
I'm like, wait,
came out of left field. What's like, whoa. On?
So then the person got in trouble further down the road and was, you know, demanding all this help from people. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I just can't, you know, I didn't reply, you know, and I haven't replied because at that point I cut you off. You know, if you can't, it is toxic.
As the Gen Z would say.
And thank you very much. That's a good term, a good toxic. Gen Z term. But I just like, you know what? Fine. I can give you advice, but if you're going to turn around and then publicly attack the person who's trying to help you, okay, we're done here. We're done here.
Yeah, that's not a great philosophy to keep friends. I'm sorry.
I do wonder in this generation of conservatives, because, you know, the conservative celebrity thing is like a big deal now. And you've got all these people in their 20s and 30s who are, you know, these celebrity, their celebrity status now.
Yeah.
They didn't go through, you know, the slog of, you know, starting in local journalism or whatever. You know, they got famous because of TikTok and Twitter.
And they're all coming out with books. Have you noticed that? And podcasts.
And you know they're not writing those.
Because I just saw another one today, another conservative coming out with a book that's a young guy. Again, I won't mention. But I was like, really, man? I don't want to read your book. Wow. I don't care.
I'm sorry. If you're 15, you have no life experience.
No life experience. Wait 10, 20 years.
Get back to us in about 15 years. Get back to us when you're 30, when you can shave.
Oh, yeah, really? Grow a little facial hair.
Nothing yet. Wow. I hope they all work it out, but you're right. I would not want to be anywhere around. I hope they don't do one of the axe throwing things. You know what I mean?
Yes, or the ones where you throw plates and break things.
Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, Daily Wire needs to steer clear of that.
I think just go to like a nice quiet library or something.
But if they do the Christmas party at Daily Wire at an axe throwing place, we've got to send you undercover.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, can you
sneak me in?
I love it. All right, Grace Baker, ladies and gentlemen, coming up. Wow, you're going to love this. A school decided to cancel USA Day, and you will believe the reason why, but it's what the kids did that I want to talk about. We're going to be taking your calls as well, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines. Frank in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Frank, I know what you're going to talk about. Are you rubbing this in, Frank?
No, Todd. I love you too much to do that. I listen to you every day. I have been for a long time. But I just want to send my condolences. And, you know, I turned the sound off on the TV and listened to the local broadcasters. And I hadn't even sit down, excuse me, in Tennessee, ran 85 yards, and I figured this is going to be a long day. But then it looked like it just made the dogs mad, and they showed why they're number one.
Yeah, we got our butts handed to us, Frank, no doubt about it. That was a tough game. Look, Georgia's a good team, a solid team. And I will say this, though, everybody was in a good mood, even though we got our butts handed to us, because – we had Peyton Manning there and Dolly Parton, who was the official queen of Tennessee.
Yeah, I saw that. Uh-huh. That was great.
Yeah. Well, so, Frank, I you sound sincere in your condolences. I can assure
I am.
You.
I really am.
You will be the only person at WDUN who is that sympathetic.
Well, I love you, and you have a great Thanksgiving.
All right. All right, Frank. Go Dogs. Go Dogs. Look, here's how it is in the SEC football family. We fight like cats and dogs through the season, but once the playoffs hit, you know, we're going to rally around our SEC teams. Yeah, Dylan, even Alabama. I it's tough, but you know, it's all for the better good. By the way, here's Dolly Parton. She was at the game, cut number six.
Screen Peyton Manning walking out, Miss Dolly Parton, and I am joined by the goddess here herself. Now, you have performed in the grandest of stages all over the world. What was it like singing Rocky Top here in Neyland?
Well, it was great, only I couldn't hear because my sound went out and the stadium was so loud. I couldn't even hear it to sing Rocky Top, but I was so honored to be here, and I love Peyton, and I love the crowd, so it's just good to be home always.
All right, we're at the line of scrimmage. We're going to see what happens in this next play, and then we're going to continue on with this conversation with you, Dolly.
Awesome. Back down to first down. Throwback. Screen. Dylan Bell. Well, got a block.
All right. Well, there you go. A little taste of that. But, yeah, it was rough. They asked her to sing, but it's so loud inside the stadium, you couldn't hear. So they did Dolly wrong. So we got, but it's okay, Dolly. We know you can sing. We know you can carry a tune, and we love you. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about these videos that came out, the J6 videos now released, and I've got some things to say about that, and we'll be taking your calls on it as well. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, good to have you back with us. Wow, President Biden yesterday getting a little pervy with the kids, and not quite sure what to make of all of this. Biden was at a Friendsgiving event at the Naval Air Station in Norfolk, and he was talking to the adults about, first of all, how much he loves the children. Cut number 15.
And by the way, I like kids better than people. I wish I could stay and watch Wonka with you, but I'm not going to get to do that.
No, and that's probably a good thing. Did you notice the nervous laughter in the crowd? There were a lot of people, and if you watch the video, you can see a couple of parents actually reaching out and hugging their children and pulling them closer to them. And so I don't know what it was. I don't know what was going on up to that point, but clearly the parents were alarmed. And so then the president, and this, we had the video up at toddstearns.com. You got to watch this. So Biden is in the middle of a speech, and as has been his way, he sees a beautiful little child, a little girl, and he's distracted. And so he stops what he's doing, and he rushes over to this little girl. And here's how that went. Cut number 15 or 16.
Thank you. And I love your ears. I love them. They're really cool. What's your name?
Catherine,
what a beautiful name. That's my mommy's name. Well, nice to see. How old are you? 17?
Six.
So that was the little girl's brother who I'm surprised didn't bop the president on the nose. But good for the little brother. He knew what was going on. He was like, hey, pal, back off. Jeez, aloo. Anyway, people are, you got to watch the video and forget about Biden. When you watch the video, look at the first lady, because she realizes, oh, crap, here we go again. She had the oh, crap look on her face. And at one point, as the president is rushing over, And to woo the 6-year-old by commenting on her lovely ears, the first lady is literally looking at, she glances over at the Secret Service guy as if to say, is there anything you can do? But there was nothing anybody could do. I mean, it was what it was. So anybody find the president's behavior creepy? I just point out to the fact that the president's children, the two surviving children, have had very difficult lives after they grew up in that household, and they had very difficult lives. You can say what you want to about it, but something very, very bad was happening in that household. And of course, we know through the diaries that the president on occasion would shower nude with his daughter, which is very unusual. And then to Biden's own words. I mean, he talked about being a lifeguard and allowing the black children in the swimming pool that he used to lifeguard at to caress his hairy legs. Pardon me. I just got a little of a throw up in my throat there. Anyway, that too will pass. Can we talk about the videos? So Speaker Johnson living up to his promise, and he has released the videos of the J6 whatever that happened at the U.S. Capitol. And based on the videos that I have seen, I am now ready to offer a definitive opinion. And many of you know that this all happened in real time as this show was on the air, and I was offering real-time commentary. And I said then what I say today, those who broke the law should face a penalty. They should pay a price. However, I will say this. It does appear that the sentences being handed out are somewhat extreme. Just the other day, as an example, you had a couple of hundred people lay siege to the DNC headquarters. The video's on our website. People were literally fighting with police. People were terrified. Lawmakers had to be evacuated. One of them said this is worse than what happened on J6. And yet only one person was arrested out of that whole bunch. Nobody else got charged. Nobody. On the day that President Trump was elected to the presidency, there was mass rioting in Washington, D.C. None of those people got arrested or charged. Nobody did. But regardless, I've had a lot of questions and questions that the J6 committee refused to address. But I think these videos now require us to investigate the J6 committee. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what I believe happened was a pure act of fiction. I believe that there was an effort to create a made-for-TV moment to take down Donald John Trump. Now, hear me on this. They took full advantage of this giant, largely peaceful, overwhelmingly peaceful Trump rally. Because they knew there were going to be some yahoos in that crowd. They knew there were going to be some people that were idiots that would be swayed to do something. And I do believe now, based upon the fact that the J6 committee, and look, I've got no problem with the committee, but they should have had Jim Jordan on that committee. They should have had Jim Banks on that committee, but Nancy Pelosi would not allow it. And so that tells me that the fix was in automatically. But look, the mere fact that they refused to say how many FBI agents were on the scene that day undercover, that tells me everything I need to know. When they refused to say what sort of FBI and government involvement there was in the planning and the execution of that day, and they refused to answer that very simple question, that tells me there's something else going on here. So it looks to me like this was all fabricated with the use of these, quite frankly, useful idiots who went in and bashed things up, stole things, and did all sorts of mayhem inside the building to make Donald Trump look bad and to try to take him out. That's what I think actually happened on J6. The videos are pretty shocking. And you can actually see FBI agents wearing MAGA hats walking around inside the building. As a matter of fact, you can see them escorting the so-called insurrectionist all over the building. What's that all about? And by the way, why were these videos not shown during the J6 hearings? Why is it that Nancy Pelosi had a film crew with her through the entire day, and they just happened to be there on that day? They just happened to be there to film all the interactions between Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer and Vice President Mike Pence. And then there is new video out, and this is really shocking. There's new video out that shows the same audio. It was a conversation, a phone conversation between Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, and Vice President Mike Pence. But there are two different camera angles to that conversation. How did that happen? What's going on here? So right now, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have enough evidence to convene a hearing on the J6 committee itself, because they have perpetrated a fraud against the American people. That's what I think is going on here. So the question, and again, there's not much that can be done right now. I know Senator Mike Lee's out there, and Liz Cheney is fuming. She is enraged. And the reason why she is enraged is that their narrative has been exposed as a fraud. And even more horrible, they have used taxpayer money to perpetrate a fraud on the American people. Look, I think there are J6 committee members that may have committed federal crimes. They had all of these videos. They knowingly refused to release any of these videos, which, by the way, would require legitimate questions. Why were the FBI agents wearing the MAGA hats? Why didn't the police, the Capitol Police, arrest these people? I mean, if they were actually insurrectionists, and by the way, they keep telling us this is worse than 9/11. If that, in fact, is the case, why were these people not arrested? Are the Capitol Police, are they complicit? Were they colluding with the insurrectionist? If so, according to the video, why weren't they arrested? What's up with the guy who was in handcuffs? They bring him inside the building. Then all of a sudden, he's unhandcuffed and he's giving the police officer a fist bump. What's going on there? And there may be a legitimate answer for all these questions. But the fact is, number one, they didn't want these videos out there. They didn't want you to see them. And number two is that it goes against their narrative. They wanted to create a scene to destroy Donald Trump. That's what I believe happened. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Have you seen the videos? What surprised you? What do you know now that you did not know before those videos were released? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Now more than ever, it is so important that we support companies and organizations that share our values. That's why we're big fans of Patriot Mobile. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they not only share our beliefs, but they do something about it. They support organizations that are fighting for causes we care about. And, folks, I want to give you a great website, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code, Todd, T-O-D-D, and they're going to give you free activation and a free gift. They've got plans to fit any budget, which is a big deal with this economy. And they've got some great discounts for our veterans and for our great first responder heroes. And you can also give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use that promo code, Todd. All right, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have our good buddy Art Alley, who is hopefully already thawing the turkey. He is the founder of Timothy Plan. Art, hope you're doing good today.
Hey, man. I'm looking forward to Thursday. I don't know about you.
Art, I'm ready to walk a few more laps around the park for the cornbread dressing and the sweet potato pie.
Oh man, you know that's the cornbread dressing thing. I don't think I can quite. Anyway, I like white bread dressing, but I know a lot of people do.
Stuffing.
Anyway, how are you, my friend?
Art, I'm doing well. We're not going to have an argument over stuffing or cornbread dressing.
Either one. I can take either one. Just lots of gravy.
Well, there you go. You got to love the giblet gravy. Look, yeah, there's a lot going on, Art, and we've been following the people are responding, I think, to the message coming from you guys at Timothy Plan. When it comes to these woke companies, and we've been watching some of the big holiday movies coming from Disney, coming from Marvel, complete flops, and a lot of people are saying enough is enough.
Well, finally, you're absolutely right, and that is so encouraging. It's long overdue, but you know the old phrase, go woke, go broke, is really starting to come into fruition, and these companies need to wake up and get back on doing what they do best, and that certainly isn't funding the culture war on the wrong side.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's why, you know, what you guys are doing at Timothy Plan is so vitally important, because you're giving that information and you're giving knowledge to the people. Hey, here's what happens if you're investing in these companies. This is what you're supporting.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, if you walk into a Target store and moms have voted with their feet and they're not doing that anymore, thank goodness, and I hope they keep it up. You purchase something from Target, you give them a little margin, and that's how they make their profits. If you own Target stock, you become a shareholder and owner in that company. And, you know, if we were bigger, and we are growing, that could have an impact on them, because we're not going to buy their stock, just like mom's not going to buy their toys for their kids. We just need to start paying better attention It, you know, excuse me, Todd. When I mentioned the term investment, people's eyes seem to glaze over, and it's really not that complicated. You've got people who do all of that research for you, and, you know, our money managers are among the best in the world, and we've proven you do not have to own companies that are trying to destroy you. That sets us pretty much apart from the rest of the industry.
Let's talk about that, because your services are for folks, you know, as young as maybe high school or college that are looking to get into investing. What would you tell that young person that's listening to the radio program today? If once they get to timothyplan.com, what should they be doing?
Well, they can navigate it, and, you know, our website's so easy, even I can navigate it. Or they can call us, 1-800-TIM-PLAN. And we will explain things to them. You know, we've got services, and people really, as a rule, if they're not in the industry, they really don't understand investing. They have to find a trusted advisor and follow that advice. But we've got a service that will tell them what they own and what the companies they own are doing. It's called the Evaluator. So we provide the expertise for people. They don't have to do some kind of study, master's degree program to do this. We do it for them. And it has worked so well. We're about to celebrate our 30th anniversary.
Wow. So that tells you, ladies and gentlemen, that what they're doing at Timothy Plan is working. And it's an opportunity for you to really rethink the way that you invest your money. And you're also going to be very successful at it as well. So, again, timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com. And it really is this idea of biblically responsible investing.
Well, you're absolutely right, man. And, you know, the other side has weaponized money for years. They know how to do it. And it's been very effective for them. We don't weaponize money from a hateful, mean perspective, but we align our money with our values, and that takes money out of the hands of these woke companies that are really trying to destroy our culture.
I think it's a brilliant thing. All right, folks, again, timothyplan.com. Get involved, and it's worth a trip over to the website, timothyplan.com, or you can call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. And you can talk with some great, great people who want to help you out. Art, one final word. What is your Thanksgiving greeting to the nation here? A lot of people listening today.
Well, you know, we live in an upside down culture that people get frustrated with, but we still have a lot to be thankful for, Todd. You know, we are a unique nation with unique liberties and unique opportunities. We do need to be thankful for them, not just Thursday, but every day.
Well
but
said.
We also need to defend them, and, you know, that's what's starting to happen, and that's what encourages me.
Well, Art, what a great way to wrap up this hour of the program. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your family. And, Art, just give our best to the good people there at Timothy Plan. Folks, got to leave it there. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. And, wow, do we have a lot going on. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Patty Garibay, who is founder of American Heritage Girls. Apparently there's a big, big dust-up with the Girl Scouts and Marxism. So we're going to jump into that. Also, Congressman Ralph Norman's going to drop by. And Christian Hodges, who is a student at Liberty University, author of a new book called America, Don't Give Up. So a lot happening. Write down our telephone number. You will need it if you want to call in today, 901 901- 260-5926. And, of course, this hour of the National Radio Show is simulcast on Newsmax 2. And we want to welcome all of our Newsmax viewers to the program as well. And, again, our number, 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our friend, Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger from East Tennessee. And, Congresswoman, hope you're doing well today.
Oh, yes, I am, Todd. Just, it's a lovely day. Doing well.
You know, Congresswoman, over the weekend, as promised, Speaker Johnson released those J6 tapes. Want to get your reaction to some of the initial videos that have been circulating on social media.
Well, I haven't seen anything. I've been this predisposed this weekend, but I'll tell you this, Todd, the American people deserve truth and transparency, and that's what you're getting under Speaker Johnson. And by releasing those tapes to the public, Speaker Johnson's making good on the former speaker's promise.
Well, one of the things that's really concerned me, and I have seen the tapes, and I've had a lot of questions. From day one, I believe that those who committed crimes, they ought to be punished to the fullest extent of the law, no doubt about it. But based upon the videos that have come out, it is there are a lot of questions that have gone unanswered by the J6 committee, including the question of why FBI agents were seen on camera wearing those red MAGA hats, and also why they weren't arresting people. Instead, they were escorting them around the Capitol building. So either the original narrative is completely wrong, or they're going to have to start arresting some of those police officers for colluding with the so-called insurrectionist.
Well, remember who conducted the January 6th investigation? The Democrats did, and Pelosi was in charge at the time. And for God's sake, we didn't get any straight answers. And they were going in orderly. And yes, the Capitol Police did escort them in and around and out. And it's just, if they did commit a crime, then they need to be held to the highest consequences. But honest to goodness, Todd, you know as well as I do, you're not going to get those questions answered. They did not answer them. She picked the committee, and we were supposed to have had two Republicans, and the Republicans they put on the committee were Republicans in name only. And so you're not going to get a fair judgment based on that investigation, for heaven's sakes. And no, this is a travesty. Why didn't they call the protest the other day for the pro-Palestinian? They were knocking the DNC's door down. Did you see anybody arrest? I saw them put handcuffs on and didn't do fist bumps after they allowed them to leave. You know, they better get their definition of insurrection versus riot versus protest. Get it straight.
I'm with you, Congresswoman, and it just seems to me that what really happened is more akin to a made-for-TV moment, where you had lawmakers up on Capitol Hill, probably from both parties, who realized there was an opportunity, that there were probably a bunch of knuckleheads and yahoos that showed up in that overwhelmingly peaceful crowd to hear President Trump, and they knew they could take advantage of that. And that, I suspect, is a little closer to the truth.
Well, yeah, look, you're right. The FBI agents wearing MAGA hats. And who else was there that we don't know? Where's Ray Epps? Did we ever find anything out about that man? I mean, this was almost pre-planned to have FBI agents to make it look like it was people who supported President Trump doing these deeds and being, just setting them up for failure from the get-go.
That's what it looks like to me. And again, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger from Tennessee. Looking ahead to 2024, I have to tell you, we've been following the developments over the weekend in Argentina, where on the verge of a complete socialist takeover, the voters overwhelmingly elected Javier Milei, who happens to be a former rock and roll guy turned economist. And he's the first libertarian president of the country. What does that tell you about the mood, not just in this country, but really around the world?
Listen, I guess he's the new Argentinian Trump. They want somebody who will be fair, be transparent, and be conservative, and that's what they got. Look, he's a rocker. I saw a picture of him. he's got the spiked hair. I'm like, go for it, buddy. And, you know, just look, it is the people, they are ready for a change and a huge change. And that's why they're electing people that are conservative and who have, it doesn't fit the narrative of a regular politician. And I'm all about that.
I thought it was fascinating. And you're right, he does have the hair. So he and Trump have that thing going. There's something about the hair. But whatever works. But people down there are very excited. People in this country are very concerned. And I thought this was interesting. CNN had some new polling data out. Let's listen to cut number three, please.
Main arguments that we're hearing from candidates not named Trump is that he can't win. And that argument is falling on deaf ears with this New Hampshire Republican primary electorate. Look at this movement. Donald Trump back in September, 51% of likely Republican primary voters said he had the best chance of winning a general election. That's now up to 57%. So he's up 6 points on electability. Now you see Haley's made progress on electability too. She's up 5. DeSantis way down on this score. He's down 11 points on being seen as the one with the best chance to win.
So on top of that, you have the new NBC poll that came out Sunday, and it's just excellent news for Trump. And I think it horrified the folks at NBC to admit that Joe Biden is in a free fall right now.
Well, he's in a free fall, okay. I mean, why do you think they're fighting so hard to keep him off the ballot in certain states, to put other indictments, take him, run him through the ringer? They are fearful when they see these latest polls that President Trump is going to be president again. And that's what everything is indicating. And, you know, people, even though Nikki Haley may be making some ground up, she's never going to catch him. So bottom line, people want President Trump back because the economy was better. We were more secure around the world. People respected us, and they want that again.
Well, I know that's certainly what we're hearing from our listeners all over America, and I suspect it's what you're hearing over in East Tennessee as well, Congresswoman.
Oh, absolutely. That is Trump country, East Tennessee is. And so he knows we support him, and we'll be there to push him across the finish line.
All right. I got a question for you about Thanksgiving. So are you like the head chef at the Harshbarger household on Thanksgiving, or are other people brought in to prepare the big meal?
Oh, no, I'm the head chef, Todd. I'm the cook and the bottle washer and the cleaner and everything else. So I'll be preparing Thanksgiving dinner, and they'll have two options, take it or leave it. So there you go.
I love it. All right. Well, congratulations and good luck then on cooking the big meal. I know you've got a busy week ahead of you.
I do, but I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and you tell my pal Ralph Norton when he comes on that I said hello.
I sure will. I'll be glad to do that. All right, Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger, ladies and gentlemen, she is not only a member of Congress, but she is also the chief cook and bottle washer there at the Harshbarger household. Sounds like they're going to have a great time on Thanksgiving. We've got to take a quick break here, folks. Opening up the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Based on the polling data that came out on Sunday, do you believe it is time for all of the Republicans to say, you know what, we're done here. That's it. We gave it the old college try, but clearly the people want Donald Trump. Is it time for those Republicans to pull the plug on their presidential campaigns? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So look, Joe Biden, just a few moments ago, pardoned the two turkeys, Liberty and Bell. And Grace Baker, if we could get you to the microphone. Then this happened. Joe Biden apparently confusing Taylor Swift and Beyonce. Let's take a listen.
Now, just to get here, Liberty and Bell had to beat some tough odds in competition. They had to work hard to show patience and be willing to travel over 1,000 miles. You could say even this harder than getting a ticket to the Renaissance Tour or Rip Britney's Tour. She's down in, it's kind of warm in Brazil right now.
What? Grace, You've got to help me out with the female.
Is he talking about Taylor Swift?
I think he's talking about Taylor Swift.
I thought he said Britney Spears. It sounded like Britney.
Oh, he did say Britney.
But
yeah.
He meant, I think, Taylor Swift because she's in Brazil right now.
And by the way, Beyonce's tour wrapped up in October.
That's been wrapped up. So okay, it can't be Beyonce.
He doesn't know.
And Britney Spears is definitely not on tour.
No. By the way, did you see the video of Taylor Swift looking like she was about to pass out down there in Brazil?
Yes, it's humid down there. You've got to hydrate.
Yeah, you know, she wears next to nothing. You would think she would need a shawl or something, but...
That's true. If you notice all her hair, and I can relate to this as a woman, her hair gets kind of puffy in the humidity. Like, she's got, like, a natural curl, and she looks great,
I didn't notice that.
But, I did. Her hair is looking extra curly and poofy today.
Well, speaking of poofy, these were big birds that got pardoned.
That's true.
I mean, these are big birds.
Big birds.
Yeah, so they look
not
like
the
they've
Sesame
been on
Street
something.
Kind.
It could be. I don't know. All right, well, there you go. So he tries. This poor guy is completely out of it. Completely out of it. All right, let's go to the phones. Ohio, Donna is on the line. Hi, Donna. What? And Donna has disappeared. All right, we'll get back to Donna in just a moment. All right, I want to play some audio here from Donna Brazil, mispronouncing Vivek Ramaswamy's name. This all happened on Bill Maher. This is pretty ugly stuff here, folks. This, by the way, is what we do call racism. Cut number two.
And Vivek needs to just shut the hell up and go home. I'm tired of you.
We all hate Vivek. Okay. It's Vivek.
Vivek. Well, whatever.
Not that I have...
Vivek.
It, whatever. Would you say that about other
Donna,
ethnic?
I'm Donna. Vivek. Is it Vivek Ramaswamy? Ramaswamy?
Ramaswamy.
Thank you so much. I learn so much when I come on this show.
I know. But...
Vivek?
Vivek.
Vivek needs to go home.
I agree.
I just
feel like there's something wrong with everybody refusing to learn to say his name.
Vivek.
I just feel there's a little racism there. It's just
racism.
A little.
Okay.
Vivek, I'll say it.
Vivek.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying.
It's like,
I know we don't like him, but, you know, just say his name right.
Well, you're the first one I've ever heard say that. I could be wrong.
Maybe it's not Vivek.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it is. It is Vivek because I heard him do a rap and he said it rhymes with cake.
Okay. All right.
And this is what the CNN audience needs to know.
Okay. So look, you can yuck it up, I suppose. But if this had been a white candidate talking about a black candidate, then you would have had a whole different story. And I can promise you, if Donna Brazil had been a person of the Caucasian persuasion, or as we say, a honky or a cracker, she would have been fired. Her career would have been destroyed by that conversation. I mean, just want to point out this to you. And by the way, some people said, Todd, how can you call yourself the C word? Well, look, I believe that I am a saltine American. I'm just not a cracker. I am a saltine American. So there you go. And there's nothing wrong with that. Wow, we are really jumping into it. But just for a moment, let's just say that Donna Brazil was running for office. And what if somebody said, that Donna, she needs to go back to the kitchen and make pancakes or syrup. And her name is Donna Brazilla. Brazilla. She needs to go back to the kitchen. Could you imagine the outrage, the horror? People would be triggered from coast to coast. Heaven forbid you call Donna Brazilla. I'm just saying, it's a double standard. That being said, it's a hard name to pronounce. You got to practice. You know, that's my Achilles heel. That is my kryptonite, is the names. I just have a hard time pronouncing names, but by golly, we got Ramaswamy down to a science. See how it just flows right there, rolls right off the tongue. Ramaswamy. Oh boy. So there you go. And I appreciate Bill Maher calling her out because what she was doing was flat out racist. They don't like him, do they? Neither side likes Ramaswamy. You know why? Because he's got that Trump streak inside of him. The problem is he doesn't have the likability streak that Trump has. Right? So Ramaswamy, he's got to work on that. He's a young kid. He's still brash. He thinks he knows it all. Give him about 20 or 30 years. But I'm telling you, they're really terrified of this guy because he is speaking truth to the culture, and people are responding to that, they really are. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We have had a big problem with crime in Memphis. We were in the national news over the weekend. Over the past, 24 hours, we've had six people shot. It's been brutal. This morning, another triple shooting in Memphis. We do not have soft-on-crime Democrats controlling our city. We have pro-crime Democrats, pro-criminal Democrats. Well, there's one guy who is a state senator. His name is Brent Taylor. He's a Republican, and he is not afraid of speaking truth to the culture. He is begging the governor of the state to help us in this town. Cut number eight.
We need that type of surge. If we could have 500 state troopers down here, for example, unannounced on a particular weekend or two, and get them on the interstates and on state routes, and allow the city, then the city police, then to get onto city streets, we would have a massive law enforcement presence. And I think that would go a long way in deterring the crime, because they don't know when the surges are going to occur. Well, Memphis is not unlike any other large metropolitan city in the United States. Every city has a crime problem. The difference between when I was in the city council and the county commission and now is that our crime problem was once manageable. It is unsustainable today. Well, it speaks to the level of fear that Memphians have. There's not a day go by, Kelly, that I'm not hearing from business owners who are telling me that we're selling our business and I'm going to move my family to a safer city, or my business is such that I can operate it remotely. I don't have to be in Memphis.
So the police chief said that not even the U.S. Army can fix what's broken in Memphis. If that's the case, send in the Marines. Just send in the Marines. So instead, our governor, Bill Lee, he's a Republican, and man, is he a squish. In response to that, he's sending us 40, yes, 40, 40 state troopers. Unless they're driving tanks, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it's going to matter one hill of beans. All right, got to take a break here. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Wondered if we have if we're a stuffing audience or a cornbread dressing audience. Maybe we'll open up the phone lines. We're going to have a lot of fun on Wednesday's show. Of course, we're going to do our annual Thanksgiving trivia. So we'll have a full hour of trivia coming up and a chance for you to win some great prizes, courtesy of the team here at the Todd Starnes Show. Right now, though, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are honored to have Patty Garibay with us. She is the founder and executive director of American Heritage Girls. And one of the things that we have done on this program is provide alternative resources. So when the Boy Scouts went woke, we directed you to Trail Life USA. And when the Girl Scouts went woke, we directed you to American Heritage Girls. Patty, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing well, and you as well, Todd. Are you doing good?
You know, I am, Patty, and very excited about the work that y'all are doing there at AmericanHeritageGirls.org. And I want to start our conversation with this crazy report from Patriot Signal that the Girl Scouts are going full-blown woke, and they have introduced a radical Marxist training program for kids. What's going on, Patty?
This is insane. I thought their LGBTQ pride patch was bad enough and hit their camp gender code and all the rest, but now they're indoctrinating the volunteers to make sure they understand that there is systemic racism and that we need to share this with the kids. Strategies for applying an intersectional racial equity lens and naming it and decentering white dominant culture. This is the kind of stuff that's going to be in the Girl Scouts now. Julia Gordon Lowe must be rolling in her grave.
Well, let's talk about some of these things they're trying to do. I understand they're kicking it off next month and as a virtual lesson called Foundations in Racial Equity. What are they trying to teach the girls here?
Well, I think really you know, they have been really an indoctrination tool for the Marxist agenda for a long time, since the 70s that I know of, that I've experienced. But I believe that this is all part of their bigger picture. They're allowing of transsexuals to be part of the kicking out of Judeo-Christian values, the embracing of third world countries and cultures and saying that they are above and better than American exceptionalism. So this is all part of the degradation of the USA. And it makes one wonder, should they be renamed? Should their congressional charter be pulled? Why are they so anti-American? I just don't understand.
It's a great question. I want to go back to something you said. There's an LGBT Pride Month fun patch. I'm not sure I want to know what you have to do to get a fun patch like that.
Well, I'll tell you, there's 8 pages of definitions that you might want to study before you earn that badge. But they want to make sure that the girls really understand the full breadth and depth of the LGBTQ community and its heroes, including Harvey Milk and Stonewall and all those that they can hold up and emulate and hope to be one day. This is a sad thing. I am not celebrating the Girl Scouts USA doing one more trek towards a pretty bad ending, and it's very scary. They're going down that hill very quickly.
And Patty, what I understand, this is not just for the girls. My understanding, this impacts everybody who wants to go to camp.
Well, this is everybody that wants to be part of the volunteer movement in Girl Scouts. So that's even if you want to be a volunteer, you know, in a troop, a local troop. This is all part of the diversity, equity, and inclusion movement. And this was funded by Mackenzie Scott, who is Jeff Bezos' ex-wife. She gave $85 million to the Girl Scouts, their largest single donation in their history. And it was all earmarked for DEI education. So this is not surprising that you've got to inculcate the volunteers so they can inculcate the kids.
It's simply insanity. And the good news here is that parents who are horrified by this, and many, I suspect, have already pulled their daughters out of the Girl Scouts, but there is a great alternative, which is American Heritage Girls. And I want you to tell our listeners, and we have a lot of viewers watching us on Newsmax right now, what sets American Heritage Girls apart from the Girl Scouts?
Well, first and foremost, we are Christ-centered and therefore aligned with a Christian family's values. And we are not going to question them or denigrate them or undermine them. And we were started for the very reason that the Girl Scouts had started going woke in 1993 when they no longer mandated an oath to God for a Girl Scout program, which is, of course, great concern when you're developing character in girls. And if it's not based on biblical principles, then what will it be based on? And I guess we're seeing this in today's society. But American Heritage Girls does all the fun things that Girl Scouts are known for, such as earning badges and having a lot of fun making friends, going in the out of doors, learning leadership. But we don't do it at the expense of selling cookies on girls' backs, nor being culturally relevant. We believe in the timeless truths of the Bible, and we surround all of our curricula around that. And so it's really pretty cool, Todd, because it's got Holy Spirit power behind it, which means it's very infused in what is really what America was started around. And so this is a beautiful, I think, glorification to the Lord, and also it helps girls to know who they are and whose they are, and there is right and wrong in this world, and there are ways to find joy, and that's through understanding who He is.
I think this is terrific, and I have to imagine moms and dads have to be overjoyed by the fact they don't have to sell cookies. The cookies were okay, but you know what? They go down a little bit bitter with all of this Marxism they're trying to shove down our throats.
Yeah, it's hard to really resource and help that situation, and the Girl Scouts do get so much more money out of that box of cookies than the girls do. You know what I do, Todd? I give the girls a buck. I say, use this for your troop. Do not buy cookies with it, please. But this, you know, I think at the troop level, the leaders and kids by and far are trying to do the right thing. They don't understand how deep and really depraved their organization is that they represent. And I do hope that there's some awareness, and maybe your listeners will be part of that awareness, to let the leaders of that Girl Scout troop sell those cookies that there is a better alternative, and that is the American Heritage Girls.
I love this. And how many girls are now members of your group?
We have over 60,000 members in all 50 states, 16 international countries. And this year we grew by 30%. We're excited to see what the future brings.
That's tremendous. Now, Patty, you've also got a couple of great resources for our listeners, including an e-book. Tell us about this.
Right. I think it's really important for your listeners to know that it's free. And American Heritage Girls really is dedicated to helping Christian parents everywhere raise up their girls in the way they should go. You don't have to be a member of AHG to benefit from these parenting resources that we have developed under the Godly Girls banner. And this banner includes four ebooks, Todd. One is a Raising Godly Girls Guide to Fear and Anxiety. The next one is a Raising Godly Girls Guide to Gender and Identity. And a Raising Godly Girls Guide to Biblical Worldview. And the most recent that just came out last week is a Raising Godly Girls Guide to Peace in Times of Global Conflict.
I love this. And folks, you heard the magic word, free. All you need to do is go to AmericanHeritageGirls.org. That's AmericanHeritageGirls.org. And check out the great ebook and the new leadership program for girls, raising up that next generation of leaders. Patty, we've got to leave it there. Always love having you on the program. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
And the same to you, Todd. Now, don't eat too much turkey. Yeah. You might get sleepy.
This is true. All right, Patty, good hearing from you. Patty Garibay, everybody, great lady, and she's doing some incredible work at the great team there at American Heritage Girls. Over 60,000 girls now a part of this incredible scouting organization that is based on a foundation of Almighty God. That's pretty awesome. All right, we've got to take a break here and pay some bills. Now is an opportunity for you to phone in. We're going to your calls coming up next, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, you know what's interesting about the Argentine election? It's not a very wealthy country. It used to be, before the socialists took over, it used to be one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And who knows, it could very well once again become one of the richest countries in the world. But understand this, they had 25 million Argentinians voted yesterday. They voted in person, you had to have an ID, and the ballots are all hand-counted. And folks, within an hour of the polls closing, they started having results. So do you understand now what's really going on here, that our election system has an integrity problem in this country? Something is screwed up that the wealthiest country on the face of the planet, the most advanced nation in the country, and the most advanced nation in the entire world, and it's taking us days and weeks to count ballots. Something's not right here. All right, let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Joplin, Missouri, Brady on the line. Hi, Brady, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, glad you're talking to me a second. I have a couple of questions. I'm pretty familiar with criminal law, but civil law and then enforcing regulations and things I'm not. When a prosecutor picks and chooses what he wants to prosecute, they do that in criminal law as well, but typically it's not as brazen as they are here. Biden has all the documents in his garage and wherever else when he wasn't supposed to have them. Trump had some in his Mar-a-Lago, some he may have not supposed to have had, but he had the right to take them. However, they're completely judging him differently because they can. The same way with the border, when they will not enforce the same law that they have on the books and stop the border. My question is, if they're breaking the law like Marcos, who's going to enforce that? Who would actually go and arrest them? It would be the DOJ, I would assume, but I have no idea.
Brady, it's corrupt. That's the problem. We have a corruption problem, and we have a two-tier justice system here. I mean, that's been evident since Donald Trump decided he was going to run for the White House. I'll give you an example. There's a big controversy right now with the FBI office, the field office in Miami, where the director of that field office was posting anti-Trump tweets and other messages on his social media platforms. This is simply outrageous behavior. So, look, we saw this in the text messages between Peter Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page. Was that her last name? Anyway, the lover, who was also on the FBI. We saw that the fix was already in. There's no way these individuals should have been allowed to investigate President Trump or be anywhere around these cases. But the issue is, can the current Justice Department be fair? Brady, I don't think they can. I think they have already disqualified themselves from being able to handle these cases in a fair and balanced and truthful way. And when you look at the videos that are coming out, and the evidence is very clear that what they told us in that committee is not the truth of what happened on that day, we've got bigger problems in this country. I appreciate the call. I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, there is new video that shows the Capitol Police firing projectiles into the crowd of peaceful people. So long before the rioting started, long before the crowd broke the windows and broke into the doors, that the police were firing projectiles. One of them hit a guy in his cheek, and the video is pretty graphic, but it shows this plastic chunk of that was embedded in the poor guy's cheek, bleeding all over the place. And there is some argument that the reason why the crowd got rowdy is because they were being fired upon. And right now, the video provides clear evidence that a peaceful crowd was fired on by law enforcement. If this had been any other people, any other skin color, heads would be rolling right now. But that's just not the reality of the situation. All right, I want to play some audio here. And again, going back to Joe Biden, and going back to CNN and the polls, Ron DeSantis is now trying to explain, because people are now starting to ask DeSantis, dude, why are you so horrible out there campaigning? You are not moving the needle at all. So what's going on with you, and why is it that people are not resonating? Donald Trump is beating you in every single poll. Here's what DeSantis had to say, cut five.
Are you and your campaign saying that he has lost his sharpness, his mental acuity, and are you saying he'll lose to Joe Biden?
Well, I wouldn't be running unless I thought that the Democrats would beat Trump if he were the nominee. I mean, they're going very easy on him right now. I mean, they're not saying much. If he were to be the nominee, I mean, you're going to see scorched earth. You're going to see all this stuff brought up from the past. And the whole election will end up being a referendum on Donald Trump. And Biden will be able to hang out in the basement. And I think he'll be able to get away with it again. Look. When you get to this point, the presidency is not a job for somebody that's pushing 80 years old. I just think that's something that has been shown with Joe Biden. Father time is undefeated. Donald Trump is not exempt from any of that. I think with somebody like me, you go in, you know, I'm in the prime of my life. I go in day one. I'll serve two terms, deliver big results, and get the country moving again. That's what Republican voters want to see.
All right, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So Ron DeSantis. Boots is, we're going to call him Boots DeSantis moving forward. Boots DeSantis is out there, and his argument is, well, the Democrats are just going easy on Donald Trump. Really? Really? Are you kidding me, Boots? Here's a man that has literally facing 400 years in prison because of Democrats and their radicalized Justice Department. If anything, they're going easy on Boots DeSantis. And everybody thought that if you step back, everybody thought from day one that Boots DeSantis was going to be the Republican Party's JFK, that Mrs. DeSantis was going to be the Jackie O, and they would bring style and glamour and youth and vitality back to the White House. This was the argument. And everybody was on board with this until Boots DeSantis actually started talking. And campaigning, and everybody then realized, uh-oh, that's not good. Grace Baker just sent me a meme. Ron DeSantis is puss in boots. Oh, that's terrible. Grace.
I'm sorry. It was just there.
Puss in boots.
He's a kitty cat in boots.
But the problem is the puss in the boots, actually, they fit the boot. The boots fit the puss is what the cat is what we're calling it. Puss in boots.
Cat, Todd. Cat.
I'm sorry.
Not puss in boots.
Puss in boots. Isn't that the name of the character?
That's true. It's okay in this instance, I guess. He's just missing the hat. It would add some more height to him if he had the hat with the feather on.
I'm not sure that's going to be a good look for him. I'm not too sure that's a good look. I'm just saying that's not good. All right, thank you, Grace Baker. And now you've really got me in trouble. So anyway, there you go, folks. Ron DeSantis thinking that ultimately this is a matter of the media going easy on Trump. All right, that is going to wrap things up for the radio show. Coming up next on Newsmax TV, we're going to be talking to Congressman Ralph Norman about those J6 videos. Also, Christian Hodges, a student at Liberty University, has a brand new book out, and we'll ask him about President Trump's appeal to younger Americans. It's been a lot of fun, folks. You get out there and you be good American.